Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Vigil. As always, John will give us the plot in five words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. So, but first, we're going to go ahead and talk about what we watched this week.
What did we watch this yesterday? Let's see. I think this yesterday we watched
small independent
Zack Snyder's
small independent movie, barely in 4x3 standard 4x3.
Yeah. It's called Zack Snyder's Martian Manhunter makes a cameo.
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers! So fuck.
Yeah.
Nah. By this time, I'm sure everybody would watch this movie.
Yeah. So we saw Zack Snyder's Justice League. Yeah. Okay.
4-hour epic.
Yeah. Where to begin?
The chapters don't make any sense.
Do you want to just talk about our struggle with watching it together for a little bit?
Yeah. I think that's the best part. So, a little promotion, senior.com is a website you can use to quickly figure out that you and technology don't mix.
Yeah.
Because that's all I took from it. We could not fucking figure it out. And as soon as we did, something else would go wrong.
Yeah. So much troubleshooting.
Oh, my God. And that was like an hour.
I would say like two
an
solid
hour troubleshooting
hours.
And then... Well, that's what I was saying, like an hour of troubleshooting to finally get it, us just together in the same chat thing, and then another hour of watching the first 10 minutes over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, we...
So
I think some of it was user error, some of it was just the service isn't perfect, put it nicely.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and I text you, I asked you, do you think we should start at 7? Because I wanted to build in the troubleshooting errors that were probably going to happen, but I was like, 7 sounds good. It seems pretty straightforward. I watched a video, I set it up, I read the instructions. It seemed like, okay, everything's a go. It should be pretty straightforward to figure out. But yeah.
But just like production of Zack Snyder's The Justice League, not everything was straightforward or figured out.
Yeah, Seener is like just one of those like watch party apps or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I've never done one before, so this was the first time trying it out. So.
Yeah, I mean, it the idea is good, and I get why maybe part of the technology is not there. Because, like, if you have a microphone, it's going to pick up everything, right? So you can't, mark them for that. But if every person has to wear headphones, that kind of sucks. And how do you do that?
Yeah.
Gonna have to get, like, adapters and dongles and stuff.
So the best part was that we finally settled on not using their little, like, whatever video and... microphone setup. I just FaceTimed you.
Yeah. FaceTimed. And then we both ended up using headphones anyway, right? And we split the headphones.
Yeah, we split the
with the old iPhone headphones, and then quickly both parties decided that was hurting their ears and they kept slipping out. So we both used our AirPods and stuff.
Yeah. Not to mention, I switched to AirPods because my phone was dying. I'm like, fuck. So I had to like quickly rig something together, plug it in, and then like hold up the phone so you could see us. And then we split, me and yes. Candy split the AirPods. Yeah.
Yeah. That was very good time.
Oh, damn it. We were determined to see the 4-hour epic.
And we did.
And we did. We saw it.
Nobody can ever take that away from us.
Nobody. That's time well spent. On 4 hours.
On 4 hours. Yeah.
Justice League.
Because I will say, I am happy, the more I thought about it, that they cut out all like the real Whedon, I made Avengers, so this is going to be like my Avengers again. You know, those jokes, the...
Yeah.
Like the brunch stuff, and I don't know.
I think a lot of the stuff I hated about the original Justice League isn't in this movie, and...
No, Jesse Eisenberg comes out, like...
Yeah, well, I can't... There's certain other things that are just built in. Built in problems, but like a lot of the things, like the family that's in that lives in Chernobyl, and yes. the Superman mustache extra scenes, all that stuff is gone. And it realizing that was what Whedon, I guess, added into the movie.
Yeah,
and a lot of that stuff never worked, and it makes more sense. So
something that.
Watching,
I was gonna say something that got added in that didn't make any sense to me, and I guess this is gonna be a spoiler, but John Johns, Martian Manhunter, has like a thing for wanting to be Lois Lane's like stepmom, like surrogate stepmom.
Yeah. What was the okay? So that was a. That was like a whole, like a what the fuck moment, because it's like, we've been cutting, at this point, we've been cutting to Amy Adams, just sort of, you know,
sad.
Yeah. Sad about losing Clark. And what's her face? Martha shows up, has this conversation with her, something to the effect of like, you need to go back to work or something.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Yeah. Weird in itself. And then as she steps out, she turns into, a Martian Manhunter or Martha Manhunter. Martha, yeah. And,
oh dude, that'd be a great title for like a new La Femme Nikita, Martha Manhunter. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we all collectively like lost our shit, or like not really lost our shit, but we just like what? confused.
I was more confusing. Like I think we already knew that he was supposed to make an appearance, but then that was
right.
Like,
yeah,
what?
I think that like stopped our viewing cold. We're like, whoa, what's going on? We all got to take a break. Made sense. Let's take a break. So. Yeah, that's when we took like one of our official breaks.
First real intermission.
Yeah, first real intermission.
Yeah, and then he comes out again at the end, and again, major spoiler. This is like the end, or one of the ends anyway. Where
yeah.
he shows up, and then like at the end of talking to Bruce Wayne, basically talking about he knows what he's seeing and what the future might be. And he's like, oh, well, what do I call you? Instead of asking him right away, because like a fucking green alien just like fucking dropped on his... But it's Bruce Wayne, right? He's like, I'm fucking Batman. I've seen it all. But like, oh, what do I call you? And he's like, well, some people call me Martian Manhunter. I'm like, who? Who's been calling you Martian Manhunter?
Who's been... Yeah. Yeah, aside from that, I mean... I don't know. Where to begin? I mean, I didn't hate it, but I can't say that I liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, one of the things you called pretty early on was, like the movie's definitely better than the original cut. Like definitely. But like you're saying, he was like trying to really put in as much as he could. He just like wanted it all. So he really, it looked like he did put in everything. Like, he's like, I'm going to make this cake, but I'm also going to put, like, everything on it. Even if it's, like, confusing or too sweet.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, he everything. He even put things in there that were unexpected. Like, he added the atom. Oh,
yeah. That's right.
As well as, like, a little cameo to the atom. Like, for some reason, it's not going to go anywhere, yeah. But he's in the movie. It's true. So, but, yeah, I mean, the film, I think honestly, I think the first 2 hours and some change works. The first 2 hours and some change works. There's still inherent problems, right? Because it's still a movie about finding an object, finding the MacGuffin, right? They're all chasing to find boxes, right? That's, which is kind of like standard big blockbuster movie fare. I think there's a huge problem because Superman's not in this movie, like, at all. He didn't show up to like maybe the last hour, and Barry has almost nothing to do. And
in fact, like, they added maybe one extra thing that wasn't in the original cut, and then they cut everything else out. But basically, when they bring him back to life, is it right? Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. I think the movie does slow down the last like maybe hour and 40. It slows down tremendously. And you know what's funny is a lot of that is what's like the bulk of what Justice League movie that came out, the first cut came out in. And a lot of that seemed just kind of been there, done that.
And it also, I feel like, added just a couple more like, oh no, what else could go wrong? And it's just like, yeah, we get it. But
yeah,
you got like fucking Wonder Woman, you got Aquaman, you got Superman, you know?
Yeah. And of course, like the real tragedy of this movie is just terrible ending, terrible epilogue, just pandering, just doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Doing this. I know this is a podcast, but it's just, I don't want to.
You're shaking your hand violently like you're upset, just side to side instead of back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is just indulgence on the highest level. Just. Basically, Warner Brothers just laying down and saying, just do whatever the hell you want. You know what I mean? And yeah. And they let him come up with the epilogue of this movie, which was pretty awful. Pretty awful.
Yeah, I love it too, because it's like, well, I'm going to add that maybe the anti-life equation did happen. And Warner Brothers is like, well, what's that, Zack Snyder? He's like, I don't know, but it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and then Darkseid getting his fucking ass kicked so easily.
The first encounter, with the heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that was rough.
I don't know about that, but okay. Mm. Sure. We had no talking lines from Granny Goodness.
Yeah.
What a waste.
Yeah, you know, I think that this is Zack Snyder's interpretation of DC, and DC, to its credit or detriment, that they allow creators to do whatever they want with their most popular characters, right? I mean, there's always room. The movies are never going to be the comics, and the comics are never going to be the movies or the TV shows or any. There's never going to be like this. True adaptations of stuff, especially from the DC side. So just pick whatever you like. If you like you like the Snyder Cut, those are your guys. Those are your guys. If you like the comics, stick with the comics. You know, I mean, there's always an interpretation somewhere that there's always an interpretation for you. Just gotta go look for it. I guess is the nicest way to put that.
I've got one thing I can take away from that too. You don't get a very good clear image of Granny Goodness. You just know she's kind of old, right? Like really old and super fit. Yeah. This like version of Granny Goodness is like super fit. Which I love. It's like, I don't know how many people are really gonna like, whoever listens to this, like, who knows who the fuck Granny Goodness is. But this gives them an opportunity to recast her with Kathy Bates, and that's my dream cast right there for Granny Goodness.
I liked your casting choice with Melissa McCarthy. Oh, that felt a little more spot on.
I think Kathy Bates can do her Kathy Bates,
Yeah, Kathy Bates. Yeah, of course, Kathy Bates. Of course you can. It's Kathy Bates. All right. Do you want to, before this becomes a DC podcast, do you want to have a last thought on Justice League?
I mean, I think it's worth a watch. I do understand people's frustrations with having to watch it in chunks because it's pretty long. and I'm not going to say like it goes by quick. It does for a little while and then it really slows down. I don't know. I mean, I guess it was okay. I didn't love it, but I guess I can say that about most DC movies too, unfortunately. So
pretty much. Yeah,
it was fine.
Okay. Okay. Before we get to a review, we're going to take a quick timeout for our ad. Bring, bring, bring.
Bring, 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 bring. Oh, hey, it's Christian. Yo, Chris, you bum. What's up?
Hey, it's me, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that, buddy. Tells me right there on my phone. What's up?
You should go punch your dog. you know you want to.
What? Well, I guess I do. Do I?
Bring, bring, bring.
Oh, hang on, buddy. I got another call
bring,
coming
bring,
in.
Bring, bring, bring.
Looks like it's from...
Bring, bring, bring.
Chris?
Bring, bring, bring.
Boop, boop.
Hello?
Yo! What up, dude? Want to go to the doggo park so that doggo of yours can live his best life, hopefully forever?
Are you sick and tired of ghoulies using modern technology to trick you into doing horrible things against your interests?
Good lord, yes.
Then you better get your new favorite app, Not a Scam.
Did you say Not a Scam?
Nope, I said Not a Scam.
Right. You definitely said not a scam.
No, I definitely didn't. Now don't look stupid. I said not a scam.
Oh, my mistake. I'll download it right away.
Remember to answer safe with not a scam.
All right, man, I got to get me one of those. What is it called? Not a schemes? Not a scams? Not a scams.
Not a scams, yeah. Oh, nice. Scandinavian.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Our reach is far, goes far and wide, our reach. Yeah. So good to have them on board.
Our reach goes so far, it goes to the other side. Whoa.
Whoa.
So fucking spooky.
All righty. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny,
5 words
plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll please. So I've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 very mediocre treats, little morsels for you guys to nibble on.
Nice.
Coming in at number 6, guy from Oasis loses religion.
What?
Because I thought the dude looked like Liam or Noel Gallagher. Yeah, like the sideburns.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in at number 5, old lady keeps forgetting Alzheimer's. I couldn't get over that. I was like, not once did they show her, like, at least pretending or, like, every once in a while having a thing. I mean, but that's explained, I guess. It's explained.
Yeah. I have to ask you about that one. Yeah. But, yeah, go ahead.
Coming in at number 4, I have bad with women and dead.
So relatable.
I mean, I feel like I'm getting these numbers wrong. So, you know, edit it in your head, audience. Like, whatever is coming in, because I feel like I'm down to two, and I don't know how that happened. But coming in at number, two. Action Bronson hires a babysitter. That's because for a second there, I was like, what? No.
That's the winner.
But my number is Call ID, very unreliable technology.
Yeah. The real horror is technology in this movie.
Oh, I'm like my married to this one phone.
Can't trust.
Good thing I have full bars. Yeah.
Alrighty. John, do you want to give us your first thoughts on the visual?
I liked it. I mean, is it like one of my all-time favorite movies right now? No. But like, I did really like it. I liked all its symbolism. And okay. I especially appreciated how it's all confined to just like the Jewish community. You know, yeah, I liked it. What'd you think? Oh, what?
Do you, what I was going to ask, were you familiar with any of these like traditions or anything? Have you heard anything before? Were you familiar with anything?
No, I was not, which is very surprising because I've been in a relationship with a Jewish woman. No, I'm just kidding. She wasn't like, she didn't practice at all, so I didn't know anything. But I've seen Fiddler on the Roof like several times and several stage versions of it too.
That's your reference? So
I thought I knew something. I don't know shit. I've also seen Yentl. But that wouldn't apply at all. Otherwise, no, I had no idea. Like the Schoimer, I'm like, oh, dude. I mean, I don't know about like having that sort of responsibility or job or that's
And I think that's the thing I like the most about this movie. I did like the movie. It's like a twist on like familiar conventions of horror and demon possession, because we tend to see a lot of demon possession from like the Catholic side, right? And to see it from, you know, the Jewish side, how they kind of talk about their demons and their sort of, what was this one called? The Mazik. And what it is. And they, I guess they have their own large or familiar demons in their own religion. And that was really cool. That was really fascinating, thought. And I think that it says, I think it definitely relies a little bit too much on jump scares.
Yeah.
And I think the main character is saddled with a pretty predictable crisis of faith type situation.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I did like that little mini twist, like maybe halfway through the movie, where you find out, I mean, you get more of his story of why he lost his faith, but then you get the other half of like, he had to go to a mental hospital for a while because he couldn't cope, and he's like seeing things again is what he said. So I was like, oh shit. So that's pretty funny.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the setup for this movie I thought was incredibly interesting as well. Just reading about how they have watchmen for people who pass away in their community, and they kind of watch them over the night, so the spirit doesn't venture off too far and it's able to stay there before it can get buried. Setup and concept. And
which again, though, I was going to say, if I'm upsetting people by saying Schoimer wrong, and I think it's pronounced Schoimer, I think.
Yeah. I think besides all that, I think this movie is, there's a lot going on for me anyways. There was a lot going on that I couldn't quite like completely understand. I think if I was more familiar with the Jewish practices, Jewish faith and religion, like I would have like maybe more insight into it. I felt like kind of an outsider when it came to a lot of things. So all I could really like hang on to was just sort of the horror aspects. And I think this movie does a really good job of building tension and atmosphere. Like, I thought the set design of the actual home of the older lady and the couple was really incredibly well done. The details, the attention to details, like the cloth with the... So the man is sitting in his living room with draped in cloth or whatever, and it just had like a symbol, and it wasn't just like a sheet. It actually had like a little texture to it. It was like a, probably like a, I don't know, something, like, you know.
I think like 3,000, 5,000 thread count, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Egyptian kind.
I thought those little details were interesting, even towards the end when you see the lady cover her mirror. You know what I mean? She had a blanket over the mirror, which is a common, just an interesting detail, but it's a common practice that they hide all, they put blankets up on all the mirrors to sort of fend off bad spirits and stuff. So there was a lot of great attention to detail, though I think in the end I still felt like I'm in the outside of this world. It was kind of a little impenetrable. I think some of that has to do with maybe the main character too. He's very shy, I guess, or he's very traumatized. Yeah. He's in a state of trauma.
Like he can't talk to anybody, and like he just doesn't know how to be a person, I guess. Which is why he left the religion, because he lost his faith and he needed to figure out if he can be a person.
Right. Yeah. Which was interesting, I thought. Because he was a rabbi,
something,
I imagine.
Yeah,
right?
Like, at least,
I don't know if that's the...
getting there, I guess, yeah. Yeah, pretty cool. And I also appreciate, like, this dude, I guess, in this world is, like, just attractive enough for, you know, one of the only women in that, like, little support group with which I guess, yeah. I thought that part was pretty cool, too, where it's, like, a support group for people that have left the faith, right? And they're all just trying to cope with trying to live in like the real, I mean, not the real world. That's the wrong word. Like they're the world outside of that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Outside that community. Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was a cool, interesting place to start. And everyone's kind of, and they're kind of talking about like what they're dealing with and things they encounter, things they experience, you know, like a support group.
Kinda, and then right when they're leaving, he immediately gets hit on and he's like, hey, she's like, how about you take my phone number? She's being like real aggressive about it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun because he's kind of like, maybe he's like dweeby or something. But then you find out later he's not. He's just very traumatized.
What did you think of the, as far as like horror aspects or like suspense aspects, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it relied too much on jump scares, because some of the jump scares I'm like, well, it's not really scary because I know it's going to happen. Like certain parts I thought were really cool. Like I thought it was scary that he couldn't like walk outside of his, you know, walk outside at all without like, turning, like he starts to become crippled, I guess, right? And like he's in pain.
It has this beautiful sound design of crunching bones, so which is really cool.
Which also, I mean, this might already be getting into like some sort of spoiler, but like I also enjoy like the symbolism every time something like that would happen. I think the scares where I felt something symbolic was happening were more effective than the jump scares that they kind of threw in, like the crippling anxiety, like he can't live out in the world because he's always getting like pulled back, or like the demon's supposed to be like, the demon's always looking back, right? Because he preys on people that can't let go of the past, you know, stuff like that. But then the jump scare is like, I agree. I'm like, this didn't really add anything to it. It's just something to give you a scare.
Yeah. I felt like those scenes were the ones that they built a lot of tension towards, but I don't know if the end deliveries were always there, because they always had like a pumping like sound of sounds, and they were just like trying to like really like, you know, jump scare you in a lot of sense. So some of it worked, some of it didn't work. the synth music I thought was really good. So a lot of the synth music was excellent.
That one part where my memory's kind of failing me. I've got a brain full of Justice League, 4 hours worth. Actually, more like 5 hours worth. The first 10 minutes, an hour's worth of the first 10 minutes. But where the old lady was down there, and he's like talking to her, but she gets weird on him, and he's freaking out. But right when something bad's about to happen, the actual old lady pops out behind him, like, "Do you want some tea?" I was like, "Ah, that was cool. Yeah. I could have had more of that." And maybe a little more explanation as to like who shot that video.
We gotta talk about that. Why don't we go into spoilers, and then we'll just sort of break up the sort of weird stuff more, talk about it more freely. I guess.
Wait, no, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast, because we're about to go into
spoilers. So he lives. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Everybody lives except for the guy that's already dead. You're welcome. The end.
So I think one of the like failing things is the fact that like the way technology is used again is kind of laughable. The demon is, I don't know. I think the demon is not as well defined, and he's a tech whiz.
I think this is a connection to the short that came out on Shudder at the beginning of the pandemic. What was it called?
Host.
Yeah, it's the same demon. It's got to be.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Well,
but he's nowhere.
The thing that confuses me is they have this conversation with the guy, the rabbi who gives them the job. He mentioned something about millennials, or he doesn't know something about technology, kind of dismissing of it, and like he didn't understand it or something. And this guy's kind of like, and I feel like they kind of feed into that a little bit. So it's sort of essentially saying like, you know, if he's in this, in his eyes, like if you're in this Jewish community, you can stay away from the evils like technology and FaceTime and texting and cells. And that seemed to be like what the demon Mazik or whatever was using most effectively.
And
you see what I'm trying to say? Like,
it's the only reason he got caught, because he messed with the host demon.
It's the host demon. And I thought that was kind of like, and it uses the same gag again and again. The one you mentioned, sort of, he thinks he's talking to somebody, but then ends up being somebody else, and thinks he's talking to somebody else. First it was Rachel, his psychiatrist.
Rachel in this is that woman that hit on him at the beginning, and he got his phone number, her phone number.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
And then his psychiatrist or whatever he was, right? I don't think that was actually expressed.
His doctor,
he used to talk to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like our sponsor oddly had like the same idea. Like this doctor guy had like a weird, creepy voice, which this guy was not picking up on, and asking him to do a bunch of weird shit, and he just wasn't picking up on it.
Yeah.
And then he got a call from his psychiatrist or like that guy.
Yeah, and it's, it's almost, used again.
It's almost like our sponsor was making fun of that scene.
Very intuitive, our sponsor. that was kind of the
magic. Oh no,
the one thing. There's things like that, like Sarah FaceTiming him towards the end, and then it's the same jump scare. It's just like his constant. You would think like after the first couple, like he would be clued into like something's not right or something, like maybe I shouldn't answer my phone or text anybody or phone in the garbage, or I don't know.
I guess they do establish he's like, so his brain is so out of whack, he's just accepting these things are happening but are not actually happening.
true. They try to present the idea that he could just be seeing things because he's yeah. on psychotics, right? Like he's on some sort of medication, so a heavy medication that he's running out of. So it kind of lays some of the groundwork for that, that maybe he's just seeing things. But one thing that in particular that kind of I wasn't sure about was when they first get into the woman's house and the woman is, it's dark. It's there's like shit moving upstairs. Yeah. So there's cracks in the ceiling and the woman's trying to go, no, you got to get out of here. You got to get out of here. And the like he ends up staying, I guess. Right.
Yeah. But, oh, wait, did I say that one? One of the 5-word reviews. Oh, maybe I did. Was $400 decidedly worth it. That, okay, yeah, no, that was the one I missed. Okay, well, that was my favorite one because I was like, at the end, he's like, "Oh, thanks, bud. Gotta go." I mean, it wasn't that simple, yeah. but it, I don't know. Yeah,
and that's being. I know. We're just being. For me personally, I think I'm being nitpicky. Yeah. I'm just picking and choosing things that are. There. And another thing that didn't. I don't think personally they completely nailed was the look of Mazik. He shows up pretty matter-of-factly a couple times towards the last act, and I wasn't scared. I wasn't like, wasn't too impressed either. You know?
Yeah. As far as like what the demon looked, I mean, he just had like a kind of blurry, stitched-up face and every time they asked the dude. I mean, the symbolic parts I thought were kind of cool. Like earlier, they ask him. What did he look like? What did his face look like? He's like, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. And then at the end, at the end, he finally sees the demon turn its head around, and you see it's like the stitch up face again. But then it turns into his face, which is like, yeah, your demon is you. You gotta like let it go, bud. You're the one. You know that idea. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I like that they made his face like he was not worried. Like he was showing sympathy, like the demon was showing like a sympathetic face. Like, why would you want to hurt yourself? I mean, this is you. I was like, no. I don't know. Those moments I really enjoyed.
Was there anything else like that?
Aside from the crippling anxiety thing outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow! Don't you hate when you get put on the spot? And you're like, I mean, not put on the spot, but they're like, oh, I have something to say about that. And they're like, oh, what'd you think about it? And you're like, man, I would have to think about it. I don't know why. Those are the only two that are really popping out at me right now.
Yeah. I don't think I completely, like honed in on a lot of the symbolism or a lot of the, you know, interpretations of what was going on and stuff like that. So, those two moments I didn't pick up on. So that actually makes more sense for the character. Like there's probably more of those, scenes and stuff with the character.
Yeah.
Cause the,
like, I feel like they kind of reference what these things mean sort of with that video that the dead guy had like a
right, yeah.
He made a home video, mm-hmm. so he went downstairs because like the old lady had like cracked the door open so he could go downstairs and watch this video mm-hmm. in the background, just kind of sitting there. And he talks about a lot of that stuff.
That was that scene was fucking terrifying.
Yeah, like he's saying like he's explaining the whole thing, like you got to burn this thing's face or it'll be with you forever, for the rest of your life, and it's too late. Which is great. It's like a lot of like, this was his one night to really either get past it or stay stuck. You know, he's just going to be tortured forever if he doesn't let go. But yeah, he's explaining all that. And then like, he lowers the volume, right? And because he sees, or not lowers the volume, he sees the old lady in the background mouthing something. And I think right away you're like, oh, she's saying like, look behind you or something like that. And then she whispers it, and he turns around like, oh, I was like, dude, that's so fun.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah, I like that. That was a fresh take of sort of somebody explaining how to defeat it, right? There's always that moment in a movie where like, this is how we're going to take it down. And I thought it was really well, uniquely done and him recording this kind of this instructional confessional thing that he was doing with his before he passed away. That was cool. What did you think of the very, very end? Did you catch the little? He goes and tries to exercise whatever demon is in that room, right? So he gets his
the hallway, right? Like the upstairs hallway. Yeah,
the upstairs hallway where he actually comes and he confronts it.
The cloth from the mirror and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you catch the very, very end when he's leaving the house and you have the synth music popping and then he walks away and it's blurry, and in out of the house waddles out the spirit, the demon waddles out. He walks out of the house, kind of like,
I missed that. I caught the part where I thought was cool, where he's walking away and his arm starts to hurt again, but it's just in my head I thought it was the old man saying thank you while he was being gurneyed away, the dead person.
Oh, yeah.
So I took it as a thank you. Because also that dead guy bandaged him up? Question mark? You remember that? When he goes outside and he had hurt his knuckles. He busted his fist open because he hit the ground or something.
I think so.
He fell.
Yeah,
he fell at the steps of the house, and he thanks the old lady, but the old lady was like, "No, it was my I forgot the character, the dead guy's name." Ruben. Yeah, it was my Ruben.
Yeah, Ruben.
No, I didn't catch the demon waddling out.
It's super subtle. It's it's blurry. It's just fixtured on the house, and you can see the two. I don't know who they are. The people that are picking up the body, they're picking them up and they walk out. And then once they, and then the rabbi, they're both outside. And then from the house entrance waddles out that creature with the hands, kind of in complete mass shadow or complete blurriness. It just looks like a dot and it's just walking down and it starts walking down the street towards us. And then that's it. It just cuts, but it stays in that one shot.
Oh, that's cool. Why should it just be the lockdown PA and he was just just blur it out?
That's fine.
It's like, dude, we told you no.
Nobody will catch it. Nobody will catch that. It's fine. Whatever.
It's like, I told you we should have given everybody a walk in a surveillance on this set, but no. This guy's got to walk all the way to the camera and be like, are we cut?
Yeah. No, it was, it's kind of one of those maybe it's him, maybe it's not. I mean, to me, that's what it looked like to me. I was fixated on looking
at that. But also the idea of especially these types of movies where they don't have to be exclusive. You can still have these problems and perhaps some sort of demon is doing these things to you. It's just that we don't see demons or whatever the hell. We don't see spirits or ghosts or energies or whatever, but there could be some shit just always fucking with you. That idea of don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's exactly true. Great. Did you have any last thoughts?
Aside from maybe don't just stop using your phone would be some advice. If weird shit's happening, maybe just don't use your phone. There's no shame in just walking away.
just walk away. $400 is not worth it.
I liked it.
For me, the visual, I mean, it isn't exactly break demonic spirit films mold, you know what I mean? I think there's some good performances in here. There's really cool sound design. I think that it's it does a really good job of standing alternative to Catholic religious horror films. And I think that it's kind of a breath of fresh air, you know? So this guy is Keith Thomas, I believe is his name. And I think that this is his first film he's gotten made.
Oh, and shit.
It's an interesting first film.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Keith Thomas.
All right.
pretty good film, dude.
Thanks. All right. Moment of truth. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
Ooh, I think I'm going to give it
6 sexy spooky bones. 0.5, I meant.
6.5.
6.9.
Nice.
Whoa. Whoa. Actually, all my movies get a 6.9.
Boners. All right. I'm going to go I'll go 7 sexy spooky bones.
Nice.
All righty. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
All right.